You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. And good morning to everybody out there. Just a wild scene in Hamburg, the site of a home explosion where, you know, Joe, I've been trying to explain it throughout the morning as, I mean, it looks like what you see on the news after one of these terrible tornadoes in the middle of the country somewhere where it levels a neighborhood. It's like that, but over one house.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a tornado ripped through just one house on a street where it's completely leveled. I mean, just like you would think, and just like you see in some of these videos in Oklahoma and other places, but just one house in the middle of a street in Hamburg, completely leveled by an explosion. It was really unbelievable.
Like it dipped down, hit that house, and then and was gone. It's just a really sad situation in Hamburg. And, you know, I talked to Brayton before he was on the air with you guys, and he said, you know, you can still smell, you know, the after effects 12 plus hours later. It's just a horrible scene in Hamburg, New York this morning.
78-year-old couple lived in the home, male being treated at ECMC, female deceased following that explosion last night. Just unbelievable. If you were near the area, want to share what you saw, if you felt the impact of that explosion at all, let us know, 803-0930, 803-0930, to give us a call this morning and share what you saw there. I mean, I've heard from people in Hamburg who say that the house shook, you know, miles away.
Yeah.
Not just on the street or, you know, within a throwing distance of the house, but miles away, that they could feel the house shake, that it felt like that kind of impact. You know, some people were saying like a train derailment or a train smacked into their house, depending on how close you were. That's the type of boom and thud and impact that you're talking about when it comes to this home explosion. But
it's
unbelievable.
Felt like the earthquake to some people, right? You know, a train going through their house. That's kind of what it felt like here when we had that earthquake. So probably a similar feeling for people that were in the path of this explosion.
We don't have any indication as to what happened, how this home explosion happened. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of things that kind of instantly run through your mind, you know, gas stove left on or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it ignited somewhere. But we don't know exactly what caused this. It does have to be pretty hard to be on the scene there of something like this, an explosion. Then you got a fire next door where you don't know what happened.
Right.
Because you can't rule anything out. And all of a sudden, you just hear explosion on the street, and you have to respond and be careful to make sure it doesn't happen again, or yeah, it doesn't hurt you, or there's nothing left over. It could be anything.
You said it perfectly when you were talking to Garnell. It's you know, you have to go to this fire that was caused by an explosion. Even though the house is leveled, doesn't mean something else can't happen while you're there trying to fight the blaze and contain this thing.
There's people as far away, a couple towns over, saying that they heard a boom lying down in the middle of the night and were wondering what exactly happened. If that's you, 803-0930, if you want to share what you experienced. Again, just before 9 o'clock last night, home explosion in Hamburg, unfortunately fatal. You know, maybe not surprisingly so, given what you're seeing. If you're living in the neighborhood or you've been around there, the response from, there was at least 20 fire trucks on the scene from the reports. Just about every fire department, everyone in Hamburg and every neighboring town responded to the scene to help out, battle the fire and sift through what's there, which is going on right now. But if you saw any of that, you can let us know this morning by giving us a call or on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I would have to be one of those alarming things.
Oh, yeah.
If you, I mean, I think for everybody listening to this and seeing this happen so close to home this morning, but especially if you live nearby, you felt, you heard the boom, you felt the impact at all in your house, you were just talking, I mean, kind of makes you wonder about your own house, and it makes you double check everything.
I'm already that guy that, you know, will double check the gas stove. I will sniff the stove, put my ear to it, you know, every time, because there have been times where, you know, making noodles and the water comes out and it puts the flame out, and I'm like, I turn that off, right? You know, just make sure I'm always doing that.
You flipping the noodles like you flip pancakes?
Well, no, Brian. I leave it on the thing too long, and it bubbles over. Last night, you know, I think my wife was calling me crazy because I went outside 5 times to make sure that the propane tank was turned all the way off and that I didn't misread the arrows. Because, you know, and you see stuff like that, it kind of triggers your mind. Oh, that's right. Okay, stove, oven,
righty tighty,
dryer, yeah. Propane tank.
It's, you got to keep in mind. I mean, what else do you check?
The oven, the stove, dryer.
You're doing the rounds.
Yeah. I'm always smelling for any kind of leak.
Absolutely.
Which I realize sometimes the leak can, you know, you can't smell anything. I did the bubble test on the propane tank after I got it filled yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. They say in the thing, after every fill, you should do the bubble
test.
You
go and get it filled?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start doing that.
It's a good deal.
How much is it to fill the tank?
$3.89 a gallon.
Get out.
Yeah.
So that is, and how big's the tank?
Well, mine's 20.
20 gallons?
Yeah, I only got 10 filled because I bought the tank yesterday. So I was like, just give me 10 today.
A 20-gallon propane tank?
That's what I have under my grill.
Is that how big a...
I think that's the standard.
It's 20 gallons?
Yeah.
No way.
Or I bought way too big a one.
It can't be 20 gallon, and it's 3-something a gallon?
$3.89 a gallon, yeah. But I only paid 10 to fill it. I only put 10 gallons in, because I had paid 60 for
it. You must have a huge one.
It fits under the grill?
That's not a good deal. If it's $20 to exchange the tank.
Oh, well, you know.
You're paying like 30, but could be 60 to fill it?
Yeah. They have the $60 cap, so you can't go over 60 to fill it. They tell you it's a good deal.
Well, yeah, but that's no. I mean, you can
really?
get a whole new tank for so 50 bucks.
Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do now? I paid 60 bucks for the empty tank. I'm not going to not get it filled.
You exchange it. You take it to an exchange.
They're not going to. So, but then I'm still taking the loss. You get what I'm saying? If 20 is not the standard, and I go exchange my 20-gallon tank.
Well, use what you paid for, obviously, but yeah. When it goes empty, you exchange it. Okay. They give you a brand new tank filled with or a used tank filled with propane, and it's 20 bucks.
Oh, man, I really got gypped. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You guys show me a picture of this tank.
Yeah, I got it right here. Don't you worry, Brian.
I mean, that's because $60 to fill a tank is egregious.
Isn't that a standard tank?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They wanted to charge you $60 to fill that whole thing?
Again, I only got 10 gallons in.
Is this like, is it like gas? Like you got premium?
No, I searched where can I fill my propane diesel tank. This place in Clarence came up. It's close to me. I drove there. I was like, okay. It's been an expensive day. Can we just put 10 in?
And it was $30.
Yeah, it was.
To fill half your propane tank.
You know, it was like $32.
Okay. I was going to say I'm thinking about going and filling it, you know, going to one of these propane fill places, because every time I go to exchange my propane tank, whoever, you know, wherever I go, they look at me like nobody's ever asked them in their life.
It's another thing. This guy was standing there ready to fill propane tanks.
So yeah.
It's like, all right, let's go.
And that it gets kind of annoying, and like sometimes they don't even know how to unlock the big propane thing on the outside of the building.
You can bring any tank?
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, there's usually just one brand name.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, bring any tank. New, old.
I should have texted you.
Rusted out tanks. There you go.
I should have texted you. You know, am I doing the right thing here?
Just 20 bucks. Exchange, you got a whole brand new filled tank.
Like I told you, it's been 5 years since I had a propane grill because we weren't able to have one on Main Street. So this is like, I'm getting back into the groove.
Yeah,
okay. I don't remember what I did 5 years
ago. But you go to enough places, I would think you'd drive by the signs, you know, 1995 on a big thing of propane tanks.
But if it's something that doesn't...
You weren't curious?
If it's something that doesn't affect me, no.
Just like, no.
I probably have parked right in front of it and just completely... It's like mulch. I don't need mulch. They do that for me.
So not 20 gallons, 20-pound tank. There, that makes more sense. 20 gallons. Think of a gallon of milk and think of your propane tank.
Whoa.
20 gallons is huge.
Then what did I pay for?
Mark in Hamburg, you had an incident with the gas this winter.
You're right, it is 20 pounds.
What happened?
Well, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I heard a doorbell ringing, and my wife fell asleep on the couch, and she was like, what's going on? I get out of the bedroom. I was sleeping. My kids were in bed, my three boys, and I open up the door. I go, what's up? And it's my neighbor, and he's like, dude, you got to get out of the house. You got a gas leak over here, and I smelled the gas inside the house then. You know, I mean, I just woke up, so I didn't really know what was going on, and when I opened up the door, I can hear, you know, just a gas under pressure just spewing out where the meter was. And, of course, the fire department came and everything else. But if it wasn't for him getting up at 1 o'clock to go out and plow, that thing probably would have been leaking for God knows how long. Mm. The fumes inside our house were incredible. It was just insane. The coupler that joins the pipe to the meter actually gave way because of the ice, the cold, the frost, and, you know, the guy from the gas company says that's a common problem. It does happen a lot. But it was just insane to think that if he wasn't there at 1 o'clock to go out and snowplow for his customers, that thing would have been leaking for how long, and God only knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
And now, by the way, you can't just take any tank to get it filled because there are expiration dates on the tank.
To exchange,
Oh, yeah. You can exchange them, yeah.
So, by the way, it's a great deal then.
How so?
If it's only 5.5 gallons,
Mark,
the same to get it filled than you would to exchange it. Now that we've put this.
How much did you pay?
So I must have just paid for...
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
10 pounds. And I paid like $10.
Okay, yeah. Then your original math is wrong too. Because you said it was three. You originally said gallons. It was $3 a gallon. So 10 would be 30. It's not very...
You know what? They knew what they were doing. They filled it up for me. I told them, hey, I want to spend $15. Put what you can in it. That was my actual language to the man at the propane place. He took care. Aaron at the propane place, if you're listening, he took care of me.
Yeah, you could have got him for 50.
I just said, you got to put 15. I can only put 15 in. That's all I carried with me. I got $15 cash right here in my hand.
That guy could have done whatever he wanted with you.
He could have.
So you know, reputable.
I go to grill tonight and it's already out.
Yeah. You could have done... whatever you want. If you have an old propane tank, it's like rusty or whatever, and you just...
So you're saying the exchange is still the better deal?
Well, no, the way they charge, like you can fill it for all the way for $20, that's probably the better deal.
Yeah.
If you have an old tank that's, you know, getting kind of crummy and rusty, exchange it's the better deal because you get a pretty much full tank for $20. The way you were describing it, filling it for $60, which is not a good deal.
But there is a sign there that's, yeah, you know what, I misunderstood. I'm not going to pretend that I knew what I'm talking about.
You are similar to me in the way that you're the person who, I'm not checking everything all the time, sniffing around like a McGruff around the house or anything, but I am the person who's way more concerned about that kind of stuff in my relationship. Like, does your wife... at all, like, is she at all like that?
What?
Like, watching out, double checking the knobs on the stove or anything like that?
No, that's all me.
Yeah. I'm definitely more of that person. Not to the extent you are, but I'm like the person, we had a carbon monoxide alarm go off down in the basement.
Everyone out.
And that's what I said. I was like, all right, everyone get out of the house. And I'm pretty sure it was like a false alarm, but it was ringing like a real one. It's right next to another newer carbon monoxide alarm that was not going off. So pretty sure it was a false alarm. But, you know, my wife's just like, whatever, just throw it out. And, you know, and I'm sitting there like, no, we just call the fire. Oh, you're going to call the fire department over there? Like, yeah, that's kind of what we pay the taxes for.
Yeah. They go down there with their little wand.
Yeah, and they check it out and then give you a little peace of mind.
When my parents first moved into the house that, you know, we moved in 99, I believe something very similar happened. And they come over, they wand it. Okay, there's nothing wrong. But no, Brian, this is how much I'm bothered by stuff like this. Midnight, I wake up and I must have had a dream or something. And I go downstairs. I'm checking the stove, the oven. I'm checking I thought the door was unlocked. And I have no idea what. But I got a thought in my head, and I ran downstairs. My wife goes, what's going on? I said, I thought the door was unlocked.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
Been known to do that not sometimes. That
out of all the houses, they're going to pick our house. I'm just saying. I thought the door was unlocked.
That'll be me, though, with the stove.
Oh, yeah. I love gas stoves, but I'm really making sure that thing is off. And now that sometimes my son's chair gets a little too close, and he likes to start touching. Now he can't actually turn it, right? Because he doesn't know to press it in and turn it. But I get a little scared.
Oh, he can.
And I start going. I start sniffing like crazy.
If my dog can turn on the gas, your son can turn on.
I'm sure he can. He doesn't know. That's what you have to do.
He's not doing it on purpose,
right?
But
yeah,
it can happen.
Well, thank you for that. Now I probably sound like a real idiot.
Now
I go. I said I only have 15. I know that can only put a little bit in here, but that's all I have right now. Hell, it's almost full.
Like you're like when we first started driving. You go to the gas station. It's like, oh, I got $5. Put it on 12. It's like you with the propane last night. It's like, oh, I got 15. I don't know what I can do. Can you even help me?
I just bought this empty propane tank, and then the place I bought it from says, I'm sorry, we're out of propane. I was like, well, I ordered this online, and I was told that it comes with a fill-up.
How much you pay for the tank empty?
I paid $50 for it empty plus $20 to fill it up. Oof. So they refunded me the $20, but you know that's going to take 4 to 6 business days to be on my card. And then I went over to another place, and I said, I have this $15 cash. I didn't bring my wallet with me because I thought when I ordered this online that I could just pick this up and go home. So I don't have a wallet. Right, I have this $15 cash that was in my that my wife gave me to pay me back for something. This is all I got, and that's what they put in the tank.
Well, if I mean that's something. We are waiting for a further update out of Hamburg, which we're expected to get at some point this morning on, and basically anything they can tell us, a cause or what the situation is like right there. Because if you look at it, I mean that is going to take some time to figure out how to go about cleaning all of that up. We'll bring that to you live when it does happen. If you heard the explosion last night, let us know. 803-0930, what your experience was, how close you were. We're talking about it here this morning on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. And, of course, we're following the story, unbelievable, yesterday. Home explosion in Hamburg. Tragically taking the life of one person, another in the hospital as we speak. Joining us right now in the Trocare College live line to talk a little bit about this, sort through, Town of Hamburg Emergency Services Manager Sean Crotty, who's joining us right now. Sean, thanks for being with us this morning. I just got to start with, when you first got the call of a home explosion, I guess, what were you expecting? And then what was your reaction when you first saw that scene?
Well, thank you for having me. I was not the first to arrive. So to see what the first arriving units saw, just getting the description from them, it was just a rush of indescribable emotions, you know, people screaming, and it was just really chaos. And when you get a call like that, you know, perception is everything. A lay person may call something in and something that, you know, they have something, they hear a pop from the microwave and, you know, oh, my microwave exploded. But when this call came in, you know, it was like the house exploded and our police department was very close by, and within 2 minutes they were on location and they confirmed you know, a house explosion with damage to three structures right out of the bat. So it certainly taxes your resources and really puts into motion a lot of partnerships that have been fostered over years in our region. And that's one of the things that Erie County really boasts, that, you know, when things are at their worst, we step up and we're at our best. So we have great partnerships with emergency services agencies on the law enforcement side, fire, EMS, emergency management, and we call upon our partners and our subject matter experts to come and help when we need it. And we offer our assistance when they need our help. So it's, you know, in the worst moments, it was really great to see everyone come together for the community come together for their neighbors. And, you know, unfortunately, like you confirmed, we did have one loss of life. However, it, you know, things could have been much, much worse.
What is the scene like now, Sean? And what about the houses around the house where the explosion took place?
So currently we have a lot of investigation and a lot of work going on with multiple agencies. A lot of our partner agencies are Tonawanda Police Fire Investigation Unit is down there with their partner agency, the Erie County Sheriff's, New York State Office of Fire Prevention and Control. They have some fire investigators down there. So they're working, combing through the original building to determine, you know, the cause and origin and go through some scientific things to rule out. And that's what they're doing now, is they're just trying to rule out, you know, was it this, was it that? And they're doing their investigative process to narrow down a potential, you know, cause and origin. Really the debris field. So they're documenting, our detectives are down there. They're documenting the debris field. Our building inspection department is down there, you know, assessing damage to adjacent structures. There was last night before we, before we repopulated some adjacent homes on Diana Lane, which is to the backside of the incident location, as well as West Lane. We went with a team from a police officer, a fire chief, a building inspection member, as well as a representative from National Fuel to inspect each residence just to make sure it was safe for them to repopulate and spend the evening in their home. Otherwise, we were going to work with the American Red Cross if they didn't have any means to find a place to stay overnight. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot that's going to be going on all day long, and there'll be a lot going on in the days and I'm sure weeks to follow to put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
Speaking with Sean Crotty, he's the emergency manager in the town of Hamburg, about the home explosion that occurred last night just before 9 o'clock. You know, when people arrive at that scene first, I mean, there's kind of an assumption that goes through a lot of people's head when you hear of a home explosion, when you see something like this, as to what caused it. But you don't know, police, you can't be sure, fire, not sure exactly what they're walking out to. I mean, how is that response different than a typical fire or something else where you can go at it right away? I'd imagine you have to be pretty cautious because you're not sure if the danger's over yet.
That's correct. And we don't know what precipitated the event prior to our arrival, prior to our being called. So it's, you know, important to gather as much information as we can. You know, we had the overhead utility hazards of the wires that were connected to one of the adjacent buildings that came down. So there were a lot of hazards that they were working around, gas-fed fires. So until we got the gas to the original building shut off, you know, we had, gas feeding that fire. So we really, you know, you have to take and keep a mile-high view and look at the big picture and say, okay, these are our objectives and these are what we're looking to accomplish in this operational period, and trying to, you know, life safety is paramount. Our police department, one of our police officers did a great job rescuing the gentleman, the male homeowner from the residence. He was in the pile of debris. They rescued him from that and got him to medical care. And then he's up at Erie County Medical Center in critical condition from what I understand. So, but there's a lot of actions and reactions, and we live in a moniker of, you know, you have to risk a lot to save a lot. And a lot of people risked a fair amount of themselves last night to put themselves in a situation to try and bring, you know, calm to the chaos in that scene. So kudos to those, every person that was there that had, and even the neighbors that assisted. It really speaks volumes of just, you know, again, coming into a community to help. And that's what it's all about.
You said the gentleman that was taken away is in critical condition?
That's what I understand. Captain John Baker, the public information officer for the police department, he'll be putting out some more information shortly. He was just compiling it when I last spoke to him about 25 minutes ago. So he'll be putting out some information and confirming some details, because I know that there's a lot of misinformation that's out in the social media.
Will those details include the cause of the explosion?
That is not going to be determined today. No, the cause will come out. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that it's going to be postured towards, you know, we're investigating it and they're investigating it, and all, you know, they're leaving no stone unturned. The Public Service Commission is involved because, like you said, when you have a house explosion, the first thing goes to mind is, you know, a gas utility. Are we saying that that's what it is? No, we're not. We don't know, and that's why we have to rule that out. So the Public Service Commission is part of the process that National Fuel, who services that residence, they have the obligation and the procedure in their crisis management protocol that they have to notify the Public Service Commission to come in, and they investigate as well. So they gather information. National Fuel's down there. They're doing.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
An investigation to make sure their infrastructure is safe. And then we brought our subject matter experts in with theirs to ensure that the adjacent residences' critical infrastructure of, you know, power and gas is safe for them to go back into their residences. So we just want to make sure that we're leaving things safe for people to go back into while we're down there investigating, because we want to make sure that we're safe too. We'd like to go home at the end of the day.
Town of Hamburg Emergency Manager Sean Crotty is with us for just a little bit longer on WBEN. You mentioned neighbors and how they've helped in the response. You know, from the early reports we saw was that the loud explosion followed by screams nearby. I mean, obviously, if you were in that neighborhood, that's kind of the natural reaction. But what exactly did people surrounding the home, did neighbors do to help out you, to help out firefighters, and really play a part in this?
They just opened up their world to opportunity. Like, whatever we needed, if we needed refreshments, if we needed, you know, to use their residence, if we needed to use their garage to get, you know, to stage people, apparatus, just really, I mean, the command post was in the front yard of, you know, someone's home. And I know that, you know, many people take pride in their homes and, you know, their lawns, but it's a very narrow residential street with a large debris field. And we have to establish a command post where we parked vehicles in someone's front yard, you know, and they were just like, you do whatever you have to do. And that was really the general spirit down there, is whatever we can do to help, you know, they'll bring us whatever we needed if it was in their capacity to do. So just, you know, people sticking together, people obeying and respecting the fact that we had the police line tape up, and we wanted to make sure we kept them out of the debris field, because one, it's an investigation, and two, it's not safe. And then that's why we wear protective equipment, and they're walking around in flip-flops and shorts. So we want to make sure that we keep everyone safe, and they respected that. And they worked together, and they, you know, communicated that to the neighbors. So it was just really about you know, being working with us together to accomplish a task. So, you know, it's just, I can't name specific, you know, this person did this, but it was just about the spirit of whatever we needed done. If we needed to move a hose and it got out into the public area, they would, you know, help do whatever they got to do, get people back. And, you know, again, just open up their homes if we needed them. So,
well, it's great to hear, City of Good Neighbors. You know, we've gotten so many responses throughout the day of people who said that they were, you know, up to 10, 15 miles away and, you know, heard the boom and heard it loud and clear. I'm wondering where you might have been and if you heard this when it happened.
So I did not hear it when it happened. I had just returned from a training ride. I ride my bicycle, and I was on a training ride in the city, and I had just gotten home from that, and I'm on the Hamburg-Boston border. So, but I did not hear anything, you know, as far as the boom's concerned. So,
all of these neighbors, you mentioned helping out in any way they can. We understand that some of them had to be removed from their houses while this investigation is going on. Is there any indication, would that be a one-day only type thing, or are you not quite clear on that yet?
No, that's going to be determined today as we get our teams to go through and do the inspections on the residences to ensure that it is safe to repopulate. There were some people that chose voluntary evacuations last night. They just said, you know what, this is a lot for me, and they're just going to go stay with family. So when they come back today, and it's probably being coordinated right now with our building inspection department, to just inspect the residents to make sure that, you know, that the damage that suffered to the residents is not, you know, problematic for them to habitate in their home. So that should be, the determination should be made today. But the length of duration will be determined as we inspect more to determine the extent of the damage.
Sean, have you experienced anything like this?
I've been in emergency services for a couple decades, and I've been on different aspects of response to incidents like this. So yes, but you know, working in the community in Hamburg and you know, standing shoulder to shoulder with the first responders that responded to this, the faces have changed, but the spirit and the preparedness is great because we train for stuff like this. But yet, to answer your question directly, yes, I have been involved in incidents like this.
Well, we thank you for the time. I know you're very busy doing a lot of different things this morning. Sean Crotty, emergency manager in the town of Hamburg. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
All right, Sean joining us in the Trocar College live line this morning, and we appreciate him coming on with us. Unbelievable, and to hear that everyone really reacting in exactly the way that you'd hope yep. Neighborhood in Western New York reacted, great there, but this will take a little bit more time to figure out what the cause is. Everyone, you know, always wants to know what the cause is, things like that right away, but a little bit more time for this investigation to go on.
Imagine being one of those houses next to this and, you know, being displaced and not 100% knowing the status of your house. You know, like Brayton said, one house looks like it also might be a total loss. It's got to be, obviously, you know, you're concerned for the family of your neighbor. One's deceased, one's in critical condition. And then you're also like, I'd like to go back and check on my house.
Grateful to be alive, though, at one
yes,
point. You know, I can...
For sure.
You put me in that situation, I think my hand would be right up with a voluntary evacuation
yeah.
for overnight. Just after experiencing that, got to be tough
yeah, for sure.
to go back in your house. Well, thanks, Sean, for jumping on with us. If you want to weigh in, what did you see? 803-0930. You know, I mentioned some of these people who experienced it 15 miles or so away. Somebody said that they were in North Collins
wow.
and thought it was a boom of thunder. Before they went inside and saw the news, somebody else who said they lived four streets down said it was so violent, felt like a car hit my house. Undescribable, similar to the sound that thunder made, but experienced absolutely nothing like it before. So really just, and I can't really remember anything. I mean, there had been explosions like this in Western New York before, but I'm struggling to think of a time where it was the aftermath scene looked quite like this. There have been explosions in houses, gas explosions, things like that. But I never remember the aftermath being, as I was talking at the beginning of the show, Joe, I mean, like a tornado ripped through just one plot of land and left it absolutely flattened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've had it result in fires, houses had to be torn down, but to be absolutely flattened like that, and as you heard Sean say, I mean, explosion, you hear that come across, I mean, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Even getting the call saying that there was an explosion, a house exploded, I don't think anyone could have pictured
the scene.
What that was, just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, and man, just tragic story unfolding in Hamburg, and as you heard, one deceased and one in critical condition at ECMC, I believe he said.
We'll keep you up to date here throughout the morning on WBEN. I have a reporter at the scene, and we'll be talking with you, of course, throughout the morning on what exactly you saw, if anything, last night. Even if you weren't in Hamburg, a lot of people saying that they saw something similar. Where, you know, Joe, it's it kind of makes you think a little twice. We were talking about that earlier. Check around the house a little more. I mean, you're definitely, when things like this happen, you check around. You mentioned you were checking your propane yesterday.
Yes. By the way, so I did not get a bad deal. I just want to say the reason I thought it was 20 gallons was not because the tank said 20 pounds. It's because when I went to go fill it up, there was a deal for 20 gallons of propane, but that's for a much bigger tank. So I was confused, and that's why I thought.
Yeah, but you're saying this in defense of yourself. I don't think that there's a good defense for thinking that your regular propane tank was 20 gallons.
Yeah, I know. I mean, common sense. But you know, I
you
was
told me,
all
how
you.
Am I supposed to know, you know, how big 20 gallons is?
Yes, and then you said you know a gallon of milk. I'm an idiot. What can I say? And my wife's upset. She says, well, you said you spent 30. Well, you know, I also told her that the tank was $10 less than it actually was. So at the end of the day, I gave her the right price point. I said the tank was, I didn't want to know how much I spent on the tank. But, you know, hey, the moral of the story is I did turn off the propane and I made some delicious steaks that I won at a meat raffle last night. So at the end of the day, everything worked out perfectly.
Everything worked out good.
Yeah,
it's good to hear. Well.
And then the next thing on the menu is the shrimp I won at the meat raffle.
Do you make that on the grill?
You skewer it up. Yeah,
skewer it up. I'm not a seafood person. So
I know
it's not my.
Neither is my wife. So that shrimp is all for moi.
All yours. It's like you like it. That's if we go to a meat raffle. Like there are some things you win. It's just like, what are we doing here?
Well, so I might have done this wrong, and this is like just piling on my wife being upset with me about the propane thing. But at the meat raffle, you know, we won the strip steaks. So great win. The next round, we won Canadian bacon. Okay. Then we get the free-for-all final round. Our number gets called in the middle. Now, the steaks are gone, okay? There's pizza logs there. There's hot dogs there. And I know she likes those things. But we got the strip steaks and the Canadian bacon that she likes. The best, the biggest value left on that table is the shrimp. So I took the shrimp.
Yeah.
I know I probably should have thought of both of us, but I went for what was the best value left on that table.
I wouldn't fault you there.
All right. Thank you.
Because my wife likes shrimp. If she went and took the shrimp, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Be mad at you?
Yeah. We got two dinners of strip steaks sitting at home, so...
I'll save that anger for when the bill schedule comes out on Wednesday.
Hey, look, yes. By the way, they released the logo today, as you mentioned, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping for the final season, bring back the ticket sheets for season ticket holders. So you have a ticket from every...
Or the booklets. The booklets are even better.
The booklets. Or at the very least, don't make me pay for the card this year. I need something to hang on to from that final game. And I'm not going to pay for a commemorative ticket of every game this season.
That patch you mentioned, you could see at WBEN and WBEN.com, that logo, they're said to be wearing it for one home game this year, according to the release. I really hope they switch that up and wear it every game.
I think common sense will hit them, and yeah, they will. I mean, the Mets wore their Shea Stadium final season for every game, and there's a lot more baseball games.
It's a good-looking patch.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for patches on jerseys, too. I love the look.
You'll buy the patch even without the jersey.
Yeah, it would be something that would get me to go and buy a Bills jersey. Yeah. Buying a Bills jersey that had that patch on it. It's like, oh, this is from the year that, like I do with all my hockey jerseys.
Dorian Strong.
Very dork thing to do.
Dorian Strong, farewell season jersey. Put it on the list.
Spencer Brown or Deion Dawkins. If I were to buy a Bills player jersey, it would be one. It was someone on the line.
Is that a coin flip for you, or do you make the decision?
It would be a coin flip. My guess is there's going to be more Deion Dawkins jerseys.
Yeah. No offense to Spencer Brown.
No offense, but, yeah. You know, he's the guy on all the big shows.
And he's everywhere.
They have around. Well, hey, we'll be back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. And, of course, keep it locked to WBEN. Latest information out of Hamburg all day long. Be Mads and Beamer on WBEN.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.